I'd like to speak tonight about forgetfulness and remembrance. You'll find quite a bit in the Old Testament and indeed in the New as well. But this is an important subject, and like all Bible studies, sometimes you only scratch the surface. And then if you're interested, you can carry on and do some digging and see what you can get out of it. Okay? And the ones that chew the cud normally, you know, they got a lot out of it. There are very often in our Christian life that we go through a dry patch, of course, and very often we look for something new. You know, we're having a dry patch. We know we're saved. We know we're loved of the Lord, but yet that connection with the Lord, we seem to have lost. He hasn't moved, so guess who has? Duh. Now, but you seek earnestly in your spirit for him. David said the same thing. He searched for the Lord in his spirit within. You know, sometimes you can have a smiling face and yeah, hi there, but in here you can be really crying out for whatever the Lord has put on your heart. And if he's given you a hunger and a thirst for him, then you're not going to be satisfied until you have that fellowship with him. So there are times we search for something new. This can be a good thing, obviously, but it also can have its pitfalls, because you want to satisfy your hunger and your thirst. We all do. This is normal Christian life for all of us. And some people have gone astray by going after new things, which they call new revelation. And they might have gained more knowledge, but the secret is I'll just back off a bit so Bobby and Debbie can hear a bit, because I feel it's important for us as a church, okay? So we all seek the Lord. I'm just saying that there are times in all our Christian lives we go through a dry patch, we're saved, we love the Lord loves us, we know that, there's no problem with that. But what we've lost is that sweet fellowship with him. Now, we don't doubt our salvation. We just think, what, have we done something wrong, Lord? Or am I walking the right path? Or am I, you know? And it's that sort of thing. You can get some people searching out for new things, new revelation. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in revelation. But, and what happens sometimes is they get filled with knowledge. Which is okay, but it still hasn't fulfilled them with their walk with the Lord. It's good, it's fine, but there's still that. And sometimes, and not only sometimes, I think quite often, we've got to do, if we want to go forward, we've got to do a little bit of remembering. And I've said this many times before, sometimes if a car is spinning with its wheels in the mud like that, and Jasmine knows this, we've spoken about it, spinning, you can't seem to go forward, and yet there's a lot of revving going on, a lot of wheels. You ever been in that situation on ice or snow with your car? You have been, eh? You actually get your husband out of it, eh? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. And you're not going anywhere, right? No, that's right. So you're spinning around and you just can't get it anywhere. And then you put a piece of something under it and it shoots forward. Well, remembering is a bit like that. Sometimes to go forward, you've got to go back and remember what God... You know, he said to the to the Ephesian church, who was very active, very spiritual, very up there. If they had a CV, they'd be up there. But he said to them, you've left your first love. Not lost it, you left it. How can they do that? How can anybody do that? Well, it's quite simple. And that's why I want to look tonight about forgetting and remembering. There's a lot in the Word about it. And I'm just going to give you a few. Like I say, you can follow it up yourself because it's a big, big study. You can follow it up yourself. But I want to show you how Israel, many times in the Scripture, forgot the Lord their God.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Okay. But to get it all back again, to get this sweet harmony back with the Lord, you've got to start remembering again. You've forgotten who you are. Not who you were, who you are. And I'll bring that up later about a testament. Well, it's a very sad story, really. You've forgotten. And we must not forget who we are. You're greatly loved. God called you beloved. You're greatly loved. You're precious. You're the word is segula in the New Testament. And what's the other word in? No, peripoisis. I know Bobby helped me out here. Peripoisis means you're a special treasure to the Lord. That's in the New Testament. Peter says that. You're precious. You're segula. And it means precious is your own treasure. Nobody else's. You're his. Okay? And then the other one in the Old Testament, that's the word segula. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verses 12 and 16. And if you'll bear with me, we'll get somewhere tonight, I believe. And whoever's there, is somebody there? Tony, are you there?
2 Peter 1, 12.
To 16, please.
12 to 16, yeah. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of the things though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Amen. So if you read all of chapter 1, you'll get the picture. But this is what Peter is saying. I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And these things are the verses before about being unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to always keep you in remembrance, even though, he said, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You know these things, and you're established in them. But there's that danger of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And it happens quite often to a number of people in their own walk and in churches. So he said, look, I'm going to put off this tabernacle, but I'm going to endeavour, verse 15, that you may able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So that's one, that's Peter. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. And if somebody gets there before me, if they could read it, please, anybody. And it's verse 15 to 17.
Though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everyone in every church.
Okay. So Paul was so concerned he was going to send Timothy to the Corinthian church, not with a new revelation, but to remember all the things that have established them. Okay, so here Paul is saying it now. He was concerned. Let's go once more to 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. Whoever gets there, they could read it, please.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So there again, you see Paul bringing into remembrance. And in this case, he had to say to Timothy, look, he wasn't going to give Timothy a new commandment, a new revelation, nothing like that. He said, I'm going to bring you in remembrance. Stir up the gift that is within you. You've forgotten. Don't forget. Hold fast. And what's the point of you being negligent? I've got a trouble with that word. To what God has given you, and you're not doing it, and you want more. I don't work like that. It don't work like that. What are you doing with what God's given you? But I want more. Well, use what you got and you'll get more. Walk in the faith that God has given you and you get more. That doesn't mean you've got to be a preacher or this, that and the other. Walk in the faith that God's given you.
Yeah.
Think, now what has God done for me? Start remembering. Well, he died for me. Do you know, Peter says that in one of the scriptures that they sort of, there are those that even forgotten that they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They've forgotten. And they've forgotten who they are. They're beloved. They're loved of the Lord. And then there's so many lies going around. And there's so many spirits that influence. That if we don't stick to the word of God, if we are careless with what God has given us, the enemy will take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Now, we won't go through any more scriptures. I could go through plenty. Maybe just one more. Acts 20. This is where Paul was talking to Ephesian church. In fact, you probably know it very well. 31 to 32, and I'll read it. He was speaking to the, you know it very well, I've spoken about it before. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost, verse 28, made you overseers. Now look, take heed therefore unto yourselves. You first. Never mind about putting anybody else right. You look after yourselves and your doctrine. It's important. Don't go try and putting other people right, and when you, if your doctrine isn't right, and you're not right. That's what Paul says. Take heed there unto yourselves and watch, and to the flock of God. You can't look over the flock if you're not looking at a real doctrine in yourself spiritually. Whom the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. You can't make yourself. Oh, no way. To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't care about you. I'm not talking about just this church, I'm talking about all church. They don't care. As Paul talks about people who only want to feed their own belly.
Mm.
Now that's not... Your belly is also speaks of, it's the same word as womb. And what comes out of the womb, what gives birth. So in here, you, in your belly, your heart, your womb, if you like, what are you going to give birth to? Nastiness or love? Well, if you're going to give love, you must be born again, receive the Spirit of the living God, and then you can give birth. But there are those that haven't, and what they do is just want to feed their own belly. They don't care about the flock of God. They just want to satisfy their own lusts, which is part of the belly again, your own desires. Okay? Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples. What does it say?
After them.
After them. I thought we were all supposed to make disciples to go after Christ, to follow Christ.
Yeah.
But these people, who just want to feed their own belly, speaking perversely, to draw away disciples after them. Follow me. No, thank you. I want to follow Christ. Therefore, no, it's not me that's saying it. This is Paul saying it to the Ephesian church. And therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears, and so on. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. His, in other words, I commend you to his gracious words. But some people want to commend us to the words of law and legalism. That will bind you. But Paul didn't. He said, I commend you to God's gracious word, which is able to give you inheritance amongst all those that are sanctified. His gracious word will build you up. You are loved. You are all loved. And that's why, I'll say it again, you're all called, Paul, that's why I call Paul calls all beloved. How do we see each other? I wonder. Okay, let's just leave that one there. You've seen enough about that. Now, the Old Testament word to forget, and we're going into the Old Testament now, is shortak, a primitive root to mislay, i.e. to be oblivious from want of memory or attention. And we're going to look at a few scriptures where they forgot the Lord their God, and not only that, but it led to idolatry. Because you can't be a vacuum. If you forsake the Lord, you're going to fill it with something. You can't be a vacuum. And so a very good one is, there's many of them, but let's look at Psalm 78, verse 11. I don't have to go too far with this. This one, you know, the Bible is full where they say, they forgot the Lord, or forsook the Lord their God. And that's when they were sent prophets, and they stoned them, ridiculed them, ignored them, scorned them, laughed at them, and all the rest of it. And to their own destruction, really. I'll read it here. It's first. I'll just pick it up at verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks of the wilderness and gave them drink out of all the great depths. He brought streams out of the rocks and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And there's a list of things that he did for them. But they forgot it. They just simply forgot. And I'm not knocking them as much. You know, we can be careful not to do the same thing. You can forget. No wonder the Lord said about communion. Do this in remembrance of me. And I remember when I was going through a tough, tough time, I couldn't seem to go forward. Prayed more, did this more, did that and that. It was a bit of a... I knew that I was loved of the Lord like you are loved of the Lord, and knew that the Lord hadn't forsook us or nothing like that, but I just couldn't go forward. And then I came to a communion service one day here, and it suddenly hit me. I remembered. And it all came flooding back, and from that day I shot forward. Because I'd forgotten what God had done. Forgot that he was a healer. Forgot that he was my deliverer. Forgot this, forgot that. You know, you say, oh yeah, I remember. But let's put it this way. I've spoken to you about it before. When God remembered in the scripture, something always happened for the good.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'll just read these. You don't have to look them up, but if you want the scriptures, I'll give them to you. Genesis 8:1. Noah. God remembered Noah. Duh. He never forgot him. What does that mean, remember? And what happened? Then, of course, the waters abated. God remembered Abraham. He remembered Rachel. All these things, something happened. God remembered Anna. And most important, God has never forgotten his covenant. He's made a covenant. Israel broke it many times. But he never forsook them.
No, that's right.
Kept knocking. Anyway, you know that. And after all, in John 14:26, the Lord said this. Let's read. Can somebody read John 14:26?
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Thank you, Tony. He will bring, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. It will lead you into all truth, but he will also bring things into remembrance, what I've said.
Yeah.
Now, God has spoken to us all in one way or another. You might, even if you doubt it, he has spoken to you in many, many different ways. And He brings that, the Holy Spirit brings that into remembrance at times when we've forgotten.
Yep.
Forgotten, for example, who we are.
Mm.
Forgotten that he's the healer.
Mm.
Forgotten that he's your saviour. Well, you don't forget you're a saviour, but certainly he's your deliverer. And forgotten that he rules and overrules.
Yep.
So the Holy Spirit brings into remembrance things. Mm. Now, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift. He wasn't going to give him a new gift. He said he was going to bring it to his remembrance.
Yeah.
God's done that for you. Why haven't you used it? It's like somebody giving you, say, £5,000. Put £5,000 in your bank or something. And you're still saying, oh, I can't afford that, I can't afford that, I can't afford that. Oh, you've forgotten. Have you forgotten that I put that in the bank? And spiritually, the Holy Spirit comes and reminds us. There's a number of things that we forget, and then you see it happening in people's lives. You see them, it's struggling to go forward, or they start to do. Somebody wants more activity. Somebody once said, a lack of spiritual communion with the Lord can easily develop, that's a lack of it, can develop it, more activity, because you're not a vacuum. So you tend to do more. Now, if you enter into rest with the Lord, you will do more, but it will be more of His bidding, not your bidding. Anyway, that's, so you can see remembrance. So when you are brought into remembrance, something happens. When the Holy Spirit brings you into remembrance, something happens. You get filled with joy. You get edified. You get built up. You think, wow, because it's God-given. And the same thing happens to you as with the Lord. The Lord, it came to His remembrance and something happened. Well, you're born again of the same Spirit. When you remember what God has given you, if the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance, you will, something will happen to you too. Okay? Now, I could give you a list, but I'm not going to. I could give you a list of, they forgot His works, they forgot the Lord their God, they forgot this, they forgot that. There's loads of them. If you want to look it up, you look for yourself. And it was an indictment. So the Lord had to send prophets to them and say, hey, look, you're my people. You're my people. And He had to remind them of His laws, remind them of where they're going, because from forgetting the Lord, it was one step further to going into idolatry. It didn't take long. And you might say, well, how does that affect the church? Well, it's quite simple. It's very, very simple. You know, I once told you about the priest's garments. Everything was a shadow and a type in the tabernacle. You know that. I've spoken about it before. Everything in that tabernacle, the size and everything, was all a type. All were multiples of five. Five speaks of grace. The whole work was of grace. And so was the Lord, full of grace and truth. Okay, so everything was pointing. It was a shadow, but it was pointing till the reality came. Well, the priests, wasn't a good idea by the Lord. This spoke volumes of the one who was to come. And the high priest was dressed in his robes in a certain way, had to be with a breastplate with the 12 tribes, stones, the 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes. And where were they? The Bible tells you very plainly, it was on his heart. So we're on his heart, see? And then there's the shoulder pads. All these things, they all speak of the Lord. The Lord didn't go around with a breastplate with 12 stones on. You were on his heart, inwardly, you see? So it's all types. And even the tribes' names were on the high priest's shoulders where he bore them. Well, the Lord didn't have to go around with that. He bore her us. You see what I'm saying? Okay. It was all a type. But one of the things they had on the high priest's garment, as you know, was on the ephod, was the golden bells and the pomegranates. Oh, that's sweet. Why don't we put bananas instead? Why don't we put oranges? Why not? Everything was meticulous. It was a type. So on the ephod, which was all of blue, on the ephod, there was the golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate. And so on, golden bell and a pomegranate. Now, why would that be? Well, I've told you before. Take the pomegranates away, and what would you get? Clang, 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 clang. I can't hear you for the noise you're making. It's clanging. Now, you put the pomegranates, and the pomegranates are full of what?
Seed.
Seed, which is a type of word. They are also a fruit. Okay? Full of seed, full of the word, which bears fruit. Okay? If you've got the seed, it's going to bear fruit. Okay? And put it in between the bells. So when they're hitting, they're not clashing with one another. They're hitting the fruit. Bang. And you can hear the distinct, lovely sound of the bell. Take the fruit away, and all you've got is, like 1 Corinthians 13 says, is a... exactly. Because there is no fruit. And this fruit is the fruit of love. Pomegranate there, you'll read in Song of Solomon as well. It's full of word, and the word produces love. Because the word is a person. Okay? So, if the bell is hitting, and that's why you get two ministers, if they're arguing together, or anybody for that matter, but it clang, 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 it comes, because they haven't got this love, because they haven't got the pomegranates in between, they become like Jasmine just said, I think that's what it said. Yes. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I'm not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. And that's how it goes, see. And so, now why did I tell you that? I must have told you that for a reason. Anyway, and now, the thing is this, that so therefore we look back and we can see. And when the Lord came, he didn't have to have pomegranates and golden bells. He was the bell that was ringing, ringing out in message of love. You see what I'm saying? It was all there. And incidentally, when the high priest went in once a year into the Holy of Holies, people used to think he went in with the bells, but he didn't. He discarded all his robes of beauty, and all he had was the robe of righteousness on, which is what the Lord did. It was all white, and he went in, he left that out, and they'd be there. And he'd be in the Holy of Holies. There was silence. Hoping he's going to come out. And then he come out. Then he put back on the thing. And he start walking. They hear the gospel sound again. He's out. There's a type there. Anyway. Let's look at this one now. Psalm 103. You know it very well. But I'm trying to get over the point that we need to do some remembering. We need to remember. We can, it's an awful thing when you start forgetting, because you start to become ungrateful. You've forgotten what God has done for you. And if you raised your kids up and they were ungrateful little so-and-sos, you'd be disappointed. And there's a number of scriptures, I don't even know if we're going to get there, but I would like to show you one special one, where Israel forgot the people that helped them. They forgot Gideon. They forgot the priests, Anyway, I can't think of his name, but I'll show it to you. They forgot him. And he was the only priest that was buried with the kings. Did you know that? He was so influential, and I'm hoping to get there. I might have to cut some of this out. But let's read Psalm 103, and I'll just show you how ungrateful and what God thinks of it. You know, we stand on other men's shoulders. Don't think you've got here on your own, or I've got here on my own. We haven't. We had a very good pastor in Bill, a very good teacher in Michael and Ralph and Charles and different ones and others, not just teachers, but other people as well, who would roll up their sleeves and be, you know, help you out, and, you know, when you needed some physical work done or that. It's no good saying, be blessed, brother, and out you go. That's all word. You've got to back it up with action sometimes. You know, it's all very well saying, be blessed. But the Bible says, that's not going to feed somebody, is it?
Yep.
Be blessed. You say, well, thank you. But I'm dying of thirst. I'm really hungry. You know, you've got to back it up with action. And we stand on other men's shoulders. And maturity starts to appreciate. You know when a Christian is grown up, because their talk changes. It's more gracious. It's more, how can I put this, appreciative. And it's more humble, for example. But particularly as they grow older, they're more appreciative of others. For example, you've had Bill, who laboured for years, you know, and Eunice, who laboured for years. And we appreciate their work. And the Bible tells you to do this, you know. But this is a sign of maturity. How is it that when your kids, as they're growing up, they don't really know what you've done for them till they're older?
Yep.
And they start appreciating their family more as they get older.
Yeah.
I've found that with our kids. They appreciate us more now than, say, when they did just doing their own thing and expecting it. And then suddenly you watch them mature and you thought, they're appreciating. Anyway, let's see if I can just get this done. Psalm 103. Can somebody read it if they're there? Verses 1 and 2? I think it's 1 and 2.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Okay, thank you, John. And he goes on after that. Now, he said, and forget not all his benefits. Now, that word benefit, I looked it up, and if I can find it here. Yeah. It's the word, I don't suppose you're interested in the word anyway, hemel, and it's really treatment of an act of good, aureal, and it's from a root word called gomel, and that is to treat a person for what he has done. So in a sense, when it says forget not all his benefits, not just now, but all for what he's done for you. All the benefits that he's done for you, forget it not. And have we? And there are times, that's why I'm so pleased, there are times the Holy Spirit brings us to a place, maybe it's with a song or something, whatever it is, just to remember all the benefits which he's done. And then he lists a few. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And there are so many benefits that God has done for us. You know, healed us, restored us, given us. Have we forgotten? I'm not saying you've forgotten, but I say, have we forgotten? And there are times we struggle because we're trying to go forward, and God wants us to remember. That will push you forward. Remember, you are loved. Remember what I've done for you. Remember. And that's why it's good to give testimonies. Like Richard, you'll ask him, he'll give testimony of 20 years or more. But he hasn't forgotten. He remembers. And he's appreciative. And when you remember, like if Bobby done some good to me, and when I saw him in trouble, I'd remember.
Yeah.
yeah, Bobby helped me out there. You know, I'm going to, you know what I mean? But if you don't remember certain things, you know, and so I'm never going to finish this, so I'm going to go straight on to this one I wanted to show you. There's two scriptures I want to show you, and one is 1 Corinthians 4:17. Let's never forget who you are. And that's a story, a little account I wanted to tell you. I told you before, I heard this once years ago. There was a soldier who went to war, and anyway, he got shot off, and I think he lost his legs. He lost his legs. It was an awful situation, and I don't know why and I don't know how, but he phoned his parents, and they were getting on, you know, they weren't young. Phoned his parents and said, "Mum, I've got this friend. I wonder if I could bring home. He's lost his legs and so on and so forth." And so on and so forth. They said, "Oh, son, we're getting on. We haven't got, I don't know if we could, you know, look after him," and so on and so forth. Mm. Anyway, they had a phone call a week later, something like that. And could they come and identify this man, who they believed was his son? Well, it was a shock. So they went, and when they got there, they found, they recognised him, you know, obviously identified him, but he lost his legs. So what he'd done, he had phoned them to see their reaction, if they could look after him. And it was a bit of a, "I don't think we can, son." He didn't say it was him, that it was a friend. And he committed suicide. And like this preacher said, there's one thing he'd forgotten. He'd forgotten that he was loved. They would have looked after him.
Yeah.
But he'd forgotten. He wasn't a stranger or just a friend or anything like that. He was a son. Yeah. And he'd forgotten that he was a son and that he was loved. And sometimes in your Christian life, you can forget that. Mm. You can forget it. And the enemy will have a field day then.
Yeah.
You know. And never forget that it's God who paid the price for you. It was God that called you.
Mm.
You didn't call yourself. He's called you. He's called you for a purpose. He's called you into fellowship with his son. He's certainly got you on his heart. And he wants you to grow up into the image of his son.
Yeah.
And that is a high criteria. But it can be done and will be done through the Spirit of the Lord. If you receive the Spirit of the Lord, you will act, you will come out into his likeness. If you go on to follow after the Lord and not yourself. It's got to be after him. Right, I'll just give you this one. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Somebody read it, please.
"For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church."
There again, there's another one, where he was going to send Timothy to bring them a new revelation. No. I'm not against new revelations, don't get me wrong. But he was going to bring them into remembrance.
Yeah.
He was very concerned about this. "So is Peter, I'm going to bring you into remembrance." And so did the Lord. He said, "The Holy Spirit will bring you into..." Because he knows we leak.
Yeah.
We leak. Yeah. And this word, remembrance, and this, I'll do my best to Strong's breaks it up in nice syllables, so it makes it easy for us there. It's the word an-am un-nesco. Now, you'll remember that, I'm sure. But why I mentioned it is not to be clever. It's a word which is a compound word. It has a preposition before the actual word itself. And the preposition is ana. Now, ana, when you see a word like, a preposition like ana before a word, it means up. Kata means down, basically. Okay? So you see something, ana, this, it means up, whatever it says. Or if it says, kata, this, it means down. Well, this says up. And it means to, and then the other part of the word means mines, to remind or to recall. But it's got the word, the preposition ana in front of reminding yourself and to recall, to bring into remembrance. So whatever that's going to do, it's going to lift you up. It's going to edify you. Now, if it said kata minesco, it would mean it's going to remind you to put you down. But ana minesco means it's going to put you up. So when the Holy Spirit brings something to your remembrance, it's going to bring you, lift you up and into spiritual places.
Yeah.
Now, for example, so I could go to Ken and I could tell him something wonderful or remind him something wonderful in the Word and blah, blah, blah. And it will lift him up. If I bring in remembrance, Ken, you've got a gift. You've got a gift. Don't you remember that day of such and such a day where you're giving it? And if I really wanted to push it, I could say, so what are you doing with it? What have you, or what have you done with it? Get it out the cupboard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, that would be up. But if I came to you and said, "Put, you're a fine one, you had a gift, but all you've done is do nothing, blah, blah, blah," that would be kata. I'd put you down. But I want to lift you up, you see? So bring you in remembrance of, like if I said to Debbie, "Don't you remember, Debbie, that God told you he loves you?" Mm-hmm. And she suddenly thinks, "Yes, I remember that day." That's going to lift her up. And bringing into remembrance does that, to bring into remembrance. We're going to leave it there, but I want to tell you this about Joaz, the king Joaz. God showed him a lot of grace, preserved his life and all that, and then he forgot. And he did something which wasn't very nice. To forget will take you away from the Lord. And so God wants us to remember.
Yeah.
And we, when we do take communion, that's why it was a, do this in remembrance. But, and then, like I said, you all, it came flooding back to me when I was low. I was trying to go forward and I couldn't. And then I remembered.
Yeah.
And I remembered that he loved me. He died on the cross for me. He rose again for me. He gave me certain prophecies and I remembered and that shot me forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you see people struggling simply because they've forgotten they're loved. They've forgotten. They've been beaten down by something, someone or something, or life just beats them down. And God wants people to remember that they are his and they're beloved. And he wants to do great things in their life.
Yeah.
If only they let it. We'll finish there. Can we finish with a chorus?